Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. At the beginning of this episode, I want to re-emphasize the wording that I use at the beginning of every episode. It's welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands. You know, they're cool terms to use. Like, oh, I'm a kingly brother, you know, heroic husband. It sounds cool. I want to drill deep beyond the it sounds cool. You might even stick a baseball cap on if you had it, or a t-shirt, and go, hey, you know, I'm a heroic husband or a kingly brother. You know, it's like in this world, it's very easy to say a word. It's very easy to slap some wording onto a t-shirt, you know, a sticker, whatever. And it's another thing you actually lean fully into what the power is and the significance is behind those words. They're consciously put there again and again. It's the heroic ideal, the kingly brother, the king archetype in archetypal language, Jungian, from Carl Jung. I mean, it's the king archetype is the masculine spiritual godhead. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. There's a multitude of different mystical traditions, we'll call it different ways. That's the king archetype. So kingly brother and heroic husband, they're there to serve this deepening purpose that you reorient your identity to something vastly more profound beyond what this profoundly sick society, you know, quote unquote, allows us to identify as. It's like, you know, we need to go deeper. Like, we need to go deeper. And definitely in marriage, depth of presence and potency of being able to embody an identity inside of ourselves that is absolutely unshakable in the full storm of our queen, in the full storm of life, in the full storm of her own wounds. That's why we say mountain in the storm. What's the storm? Wounds, woman, and world. To have an unshakably grounded connection with an identity that goes so far beyond the small-minded, conditioned persona that you took on, that you had to take on in childhood. Had to. You had no other option. It's essential to really get to that. Now, behind those words, you know, kingly brothers and heroic husbands, there's the depth. And where does the depth come from? Deep inside of yourself, in your mind. And in your mind, I'm not talking about cranial brain. If you want to go neurophysiologically, I'm talking about cranial brain, heart brain, gut brain working perfectly together. If you want to go, you know, it's not circling in. The word mind is your whole entire nervous system. And if you have a mystical orientation, tradition, belief, I would say it's, you know, it's the neurophysiology, where it's part of the organism. It's that tapping into the universal energy, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever your belief orientation is, from a mystical, religious, or if it's plainly neurophysiology, we've got this body, we've got this nervous system. I want to include all of you in this, that the vast capacity that we have remains untapped. In this episode, I want you to come on a journey to deepen into the vastness and the profundity that is available to you, that, you know, in many cases is 99.99% untapped. This is great news. Great news. Your queen will feel infinitely more turned on, infinitely more trust in you, infinitely more desire to be around you, infinitely safer in you when you start relentlessly committing to tapping into this unclaimed power. And it's deep inside of yourself. It's always there. You just need a new playbook in your belief system beyond the profoundly sick society's playbook, which really bombards stimuli that were really small and, yeah, just not powerful. So it's inside your mind. On a practical level, I have seen in myself countless times with my queen, in with my kids, and I see it all the time in guys that I work with, and clearly in that work journey with guys is to bring them from what I'm about to explain to, you know, the liberation, the point of reclaiming their fullest power and being able to create whatever they want in their marriage, in their inner world, in parenting, and it is fully possible. You've got to look at your into your mind and see what happens when things aren't working well. There was a term I had a few years ago. I might bring it back. I write a lot, reflect a lot, and certain themes, metaphors, analogies, acronyms, they have their season. It's called static opinion stagnancy, SOS. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's still been used, but I believe it's a naval term. SOS, the SOS signal. It's like there's an emergency. And I use it as an acronym for static opinions stagnancy. Static opinions. There's a loop of opinions that are static. It's like the same shit, different day story is being said in your head. And there's stagnancy. It's just, it gets stuck, stagnant. Imagine like you're wading through a murky, muddy cesspit fucking bog is what we call it in Ireland. I don't know. I forget. Marshes or swamp. So imagine like you're in this, there's static opinions and there's stagnancy. You're stuck in it. This happens all the time. I hear it all the time. It happened to me all the time going back where, you know, my queen would say something, do something, whatever. And now we're in an argument, or maybe we're not in an open argument. Many times I was in static opinion stagnancy inside. In the all pervasive Mr. Nice Guy persona that 95% of modern husbands hide behind unwittingly, is we don't say it. We don't do what is my current practice and has been for years, like express anger in the first wave. We bottle it all up, or we might say something, but we don't back it up. We don't have the access to the strong spine, soft front to own what we really want to say, or the skill set to be able to set grounded boundaries. So we go into frustration, and now we're in these thinking loops, static opinions. Oh God, she's such a bitch. Oh, I can't believe she's always doing that. She's never kind. There she goes again. Will she ever accept me as I am? Blah, blah, blah. And you'll find that there's an emotional stagnancy that comes with that. In working with this, one super key thing, and this is a repetition of things I've spoken about before, it's cyclically needed to reground every single one of you into like the fundamentals of this, of masculine practice. The great sneaky sneaky criminal, the burglar that can come into your mind and steal your full capacity to actually come into full awareness of what's happening in your mind and to find a different way. We're going to be talking about how to creatively find a different way to think your way out of this situation. The great burglar in those moments is rationalized righteousness. It's an unfeeling state of being that it's like you're just so captivated in the rational story of victimhood. She's so wrong. It can even be rationalized righteousness. Can. Not as common, but it does happen where you camp out and hide on a repeated loop, the static opinion stagnancy of storytelling internally that you're wrong. Oh, I fucked up again. Poor me. I'm such a piece of dirt. I'll never get it right. She deserves better. Blah, blah, blah. That can manifest as well. I don't have exact... I've spoke to a lot of guys. I don't know. Roughly, I'm going to guesstimate. It's like 2/3 of guys more orient with the blame being the more predominant part. Make queen wrong. And hey, it can and does extend to kids. And hey, other people as well. But it doesn't matter. Static opinion stagnancy, when you're in a loop of blaming thoughts, being against your queen, she's wrong, she's always this, and you're just telling that story. And the smugness of being right is really a nasty bugger, because we have this foundational human need, which is of certainty. So when emotionally we get really perturbed, she said something, did something, whatever, didn't go your way, you know, the way of your persona, your nervous system is rattled, and now there's a lot of emotion stirring. What we end up doing by default, when we ignore all the different other practices of breathing into the emotion and settling yourself and all of that cool shit, well, it's not cool shit to your persona. Your persona is just fully invested in keeping the drama going. The smugness of being right provides a certainty in moments. It's why our old identity, our persona, goes to same shit, different day ways of thinking, the old belief system. In times of danger, in times of emotional turmoil, it just switches back on to old belief systems. And a lot of times, as I say, blaming is the key one, because when we blame our wives, or we blame our kids, we blame the world, what we're hiding from, I would say 100% of the time, is an unchecked, unrecognized, deep-seated feeling of shame about ourselves as men, a deep sense of inadequacy. Because if you think about it, if you're in your fullest power, you're pretty fucking unstoppable. So when you're in your fullest power and you have the skill set you've developed, you have paid the price to be on the path of self-mastery long enough that you have the mindset and the skill set in communications, in everything, in how you're showing up in life, that you can masterfully, artfully communicate in a way that your queen surrenders, drops in, she feels safe, she's in flow. Her truth flows, your truth flows, your kid's truth flow. I've been 5 or 6 years dedicating myself obsessively to studying this relentlessly again and again. Not studying it, well, in books, yeah, and courses, and I've had mentors. But my greatest research is trialing out again and again and again and again obsessively what works, what doesn't with my queen, what works, what doesn't with my kids, what works, what doesn't in my inner world to make myself feel happy, healthy, what works, doesn't work with guys. I'm a researcher, a scientist in this. So the smugness of being right, you really need to rip that out of, and as an escape inner, an escape route in your inner world. Look out for that. If you're there and you're just mentally masturbating, driving, going off to work, or, you know, You stonewall your queen and you said, you know, I'm just going out to the garden, or I'm going down to the shed, and you're there in this repeated loop, and there's this smugness of you're just camping out, jacking off in your own mind, but there's this smugness of I'm so right, you know, I'm here 5 minutes, now I'm here 15 minutes, now I'm here, goddammit, it's half an hour, but I'm still looping and blaming her and that. You got to catch that, guys. That is the opposite end of the spectrum of you being in your power. And I don't say that with judgment. If you haven't had the inner world training, the mind training, nervous system training, the mindset training, the whole kit and caboodle yet, it's not, you know, in recognizing that that does happen, and it does. 1,000 men in a room, if 1,000 men don't put, 1,000 husbands don't put their hand up and go, yeah, Mark, I have to say, there are moments. Most guys will put their hands up and they'll be giggling, laughing, going, fuck, yeah, just like just yesterday, just 2 days ago. Man, I'm in the shitstorm already. Now, as I show up to this event, she's not talking to me. Or, you know, it's like, it's a very real phenomenon. So watch out for the smugness of being right. That's like the trump card of your persona to negate everything I'm saying here. Really sneaky son of a bitch. You got to get on top of that. So how do you work with static opinion stagnancy? Well, first of all, you cop it, you notice it. You catch yourself going, man, I'm caught in a loop here. One key realization is, and philosophically, I wouldn't say there's an absolute truth in this statement, but it's a damn good concept to go with. It's a damn good principle. Emotions don't equal the, they don't dis, excuse me, repeat this. Emotions don't describe the quality of the situation. Your emotions describe the quality of your thoughts about the situation. So this is like foundational shit, super liberating. Emotions don't describe the quality of the situation. Your emotions describe the quality of your thoughts about the situation. This is vastly different. Our greatest issues in life come, our greatest suffering in marriage, in parenting, in an inner world, outer world, when we're not getting what we want. And if you're listening into this podcast again, heroic humility, the grounded truth where you're at. On some way, shape, or form, you're not getting the fullness of what you want in marriage. And some of you, if you're in front of me, might, you know, your persona goes, man, hold on, don't be attacking. I'm actually happy in my marriage. Yeah, but on some level, you're listening in. There's the infinite game. You're not getting everything of what you desire. And some of you will be putting your hands up sheepishly going, man, I'm like, fuck yeah, like, far from. It's like, you know, could be near divorce, separation. You could be in the absolute doghouse and everything in between. The greatest struggle we have is this idea that our emotions are describing the quality of the situation. What this means is you have an experience with your queen, and maybe you're not yet with the full trained capacity to recognize and label the emotions, but you're upset. I'll use terms like you feel shame, you're feeling blamed, you're feeling anger, you're feeling rage, you're feeling aggressive impulses in you. There's anxiety, there's fear, you're afraid that she'll never love you, that she's going to walk out and you can do nothing about it, etc., etc., etc. The major issue that we have is we, without any deep reflection on it, we end up orienting all our thinking after that our emotions have described the quality of the situation. From a neurophysiological perspective, and I want you guys hearing this again and again, amygdala, thalamus, root part of your brain, has a ginormous library of memorized, deeply emotionally triggering events. And a lot of them, growing up, were the amygdala and the thalamus have this library of, was that safe? Was it dangerous? Safe, dangerous, safe, dangerous. They'll have a lot of memories on, oh, you know, wonderful moments, maybe birthdays or the time you won or the time mom and dad did cool shit, you know, hugged you, told you they loved you. There's a shit pile of cool shit, I hope, for some of you, maybe not for others, and that's okay. It's like, that's your karma. But there is a definite major filing cabinet, or probably, you know, several filing cabinets full in your nervous system where the amygdala, thalamus work together within a nanosecond to go in a very rudimentary, highly non-specific and deeply inaccurate way. They'll make this instantaneous judgment call, safe, danger, safe, dangerous, safe, dangerous. And in that moment, if the situation that is unfolding in front of you with your queen, predominantly we talk about queen, with your kids, if there's any resemblance within 1% of, yeah, this is something similar to what I've experienced before, which the only link that is needed for your amygdala and thalamus is, I experienced this with a woman before. I'm relating with a woman now, it's my wife. I was relating growing up with my mom a ton. That's how inaccurate it is. It's like, woman, woman, same thing. Dangerous. So all the emotional loaded memories that you've had with your mother, and also amygdala thalamus working together, can go, well, it can also project and make an instantaneous judgment, safe, dangerous, through all your, and subconsciously locked in, most of them are subconscious, all your memories of witnessing your mom and dad, mom, stepdad, whatever that was. It has made tons of value judgments back to years of, oh, that's dangerous. Mom's criticizing dad. I see dad's face. I see his clenched fists. And you feel this is dangerous. Dad's in danger. you know, this is awful. This feels bad as a son looking on. So in that moment, we come in our present day situation from on the inside, we end up inherently believing that our emotions are describing the quality of the situation. Yet, if you don't catch in that first nanosecond that, fuck, the amygdala thalamus just sent a sudden gush of cortisol stress chemicals into the entire body. If you don't catch that first emotional tsunami, there's a 99.9% chance that it's inaccurate. It's an inaccurate read. It has made a unsubstantiated claim that the current situation is inherently dangerous. It's like it's a pure survival mechanism. So we end up driving on with rational righteousness that is driven from this idea that our emotions perfectly described the quality of the situation. If I'm feeling bad in any way, shape, or form, this situation is inherently bad. And what do we do then? We make the situation our enemy. And when your queen is in the situation, she's enemy number one. Kids in the situation, they're wrong. Whereas the great liberation for this, I know for myself, when I got to this, I was like, whoa, fucking yeah, man. Wow. My emotions don't describe the quality of the situation. My emotions describe the quality of my thinking about the situation. Well, shit me pink. What do I have more control over? On the inside, I was like, this is class. Took me a long number of years and I'm still training the full power in this. But I want you to lean in as much as you can and feel into and savor. If it's your first time with this reflection, maybe it's fucking mind melting and you're like, I don't know what. But it's like, it's a revelation. And if I do want to put an invitation out there to you guys. Some of you could be, like myself, for years, well-read, and you've read some stuff about Buddhism, Taoism, peak performance psychology, all the rest, and it's like, well, this isn't a new revelation for me. You know, I'm so learned. Well, how the fuck do you play this out with your queen with that awareness? Intellectual knowledge of a couple of terms, simple as pie. Yeah, already I've told you the term. Hey, emotions don't describe the quality of the situation. Your emotions describe the quality of your thoughts about the situation. You can go off and mentally jack off going, I'm so intellectually clever, I know this shit. And you will find that rationalized righteousness will see none of that when it's playing out in you, and you will only see all of that as it plays out with your queen. And you will use this concept, your persona will use this concept to blame your queen even more. It fucking happens. So please, if you're one of the well-read academic guys that fancies himself and loves sort of like massaging his own ego with, I've read this before. You know, if you're listening in here, you're probably having a real uphill battle to embody this wisdom in a way that your queen is radically safe 24/7 around you. I shared recently a challenge that I set with my queen. We had this humorous challenge, and I'm on day 45, 46 days in a row of absolute radical safety, high vibrational state of being, where we're on the upward spiral, infinite game together. It's amazing. She's never seen me like this. Guys, I'm 6 years training this shit. I was 10 years previous to that reading this shit. It's a difference reading intellectual cranial brain thinking it's clever and using that cleverness against those you know and love around you. I did that. To actually having the humility to embody and go, hey, this term could change everything, and it can and it will. But it's like only rinsing it through your nervous system again and again and again, and seeing how all pervasive the default trigger happy conditioning is that, oh, I'm feeling bad, this situation is bad. It's not. The Dalai Lama speaks to this. The Dalai Lama, in some supremely practical, beautiful guidance, It's like if there's a situation you don't like, and he was talking about himself. It's like he gets some situations where, I don't know if the exact wording was, "Oh, I don't like it," but he's in a situation and he'll think about it one way. And if that doesn't bring inner peace, he'll reflect on it until a new thought comes up to interpret, to see, to add meaning to the situation in a different way. And he keeps going at the situation until his mind, until he downloads from all the Buddhas, from, again, whatever description of the process, it doesn't matter, until his nervous system comes up with a fresh way of thinking about the situation that his nervous system then goes, "Ah, you know, that feels true." And then he moves forward with that. So if the Dalai Lama, you know, with how many decades of rigorous, minute to minute, like he's been trained by the greats and was born fucking godhead in Buddhism, if he needs to work this process in his nervous system, if he, with all his training, doesn't have that immediate first thought that is the perfect King Kong of all, you know, that's the enlightened thought. If he needs to work in his mind to have this process of a very practical process of thinking and rethinking and re-reflecting and looking and allowing time for a thought, a new way of thinking about a situation to finally line up. And this is the magical thing. He stops the process when his emotional center, heart brain, gut brain, from a neurophysiological perspective, goes, "Ah, you know, now that feels right. Now that feels true. I can move forward with that because that's feeling good." You will find that it's not a blame thought or a shame thought that is allowing that him to move forward with that. So I wholeheartedly encourage you to lean in with this. I have used this way of being to revolutionize how I relate with people I love and care about. Completely. And my queen finds me infinitely more safer. I've went from years of default blaming her, default shaming myself to the point of wanting to commit suicide in marriage, going, "I just can't do this." Never wanted to leave. It was like an ultimate humiliation and failure as a man if I chose to leave my marriage. But I just didn't know how to work within my mind. Sort of like the Dalai Lama, it's like in my own ways of thinking, I literally come from this rigorous belief, and I find it true, that the truth in it again and again is my only limitation is a limit of creative thinking. And I encourage you to take that on board and to commit to embodying and finding your capacity to unlock the fullness of what that can mean for you, and by extension what that can mean for your queen, for your kids, and hey, the seven generations coming after you. There's such a potent moment in your life now, and I would say there's such a potent moment for us as a movement of men and for humanity to reclaim our fullest power beyond the bullshit conditioning. You know, if you're in a struggle, I have definitely been in a struggle, like completely blind to my own power. That's not on us. That's on a profoundly sick society where 15, 16, 17, 18 years of full-time education teaches us fucking nothing about our mind. Nothing about our infinite power. Nothing. What a sick thing. We dedicate all our time ultimately to be like the small elephant that gets pinned to the ground. Ancient old ways of, you know, doing it. It's like, and it struggles and it struggles and it struggles, and at some point it realizes that's it. There's just no purpose struggling anymore. Welcome to the modern education system. And I know, hey, mate, there might be some kickback in that for some of you. Some of you might be investing great money and time and in alternative education, and cool, like brilliant. But the modern education system does that. It was designed after the industry, or to support the rapid expansion of the Industrial Revolution. It's like, take kids that were being home educated, chuck them into a system that educates people en masse to do what they're being told to do. Like, you can't pee without permission, and even pee yourself. You sit, don't speak until spoken to, don't move until you're told to. This is a schedule. When the bell goes, you better be in. When the bell goes, you better go. Like, it's astonishing. It, nothing matters of your emotional engagement with this experience for the next 15 or 18 years. It doesn't matter. You just do what you're told, meant to do. And who does that, you know, will be told you're, will get all the merit. And who fights against the system that is designed for 1% of people's natural ways of intelligence, those who struggle in that system, they're told they're bold, or they're given now modern days a label. It's astounding. It's astounding. So my passionate obsession is, first and foremost for myself, training and researching and discovering ways within my own mind that I can know full well in every single moment within myself, within my marriage with my beautiful queen, within my parenting, with working with amazing men around the world, in my purpose to go, hey, Mark, you know, the only limit you have is a lack of creative thinking. So if there's multiple things that have been happening, like literally as of yesterday, my beloved father passed. I won't go into it now, but there was an absolute shitstorm of an emotional shitstorm. Not just because of the incredible loss that I feel. Fucking beautiful, beautiful man. An absolute hero of mine. I'm so grateful I've done, again, a lot of creative thinking to come back into full congruence and connection and have authentic truth flowing between myself and himself, and tons of love. So thanks to this work, thanks to realizing, wow, you know, if my thinking about my dad, if I'm feeling emotions that aren't right, just keep processing, finding new ways of thinking. So that was really beautiful. It's my second parent to pass in recent years. And off the back of what I'm teaching you now, what I'm speaking to you now, it's off the back of that. It's not that any of those relationships were ideal. There was a ton of stuff that had to be worked with. But I knew that, Mark, if you don't feel right with them now, just keep thinking, and find a thought or a pattern of thinking that you can go, ah, you know, I can be with him there. I can be with mom there. And I've done that, and it's been absolutely beautiful. I'm like at my core of gratitude. I've cried it out, you know, a couple of hours there yesterday, and there is an emotional rawness, yet there is a profound peace inside myself, knowing that, you know, there's nothing in the situation. It's how I relate with it and line up my nervous system and add meaning to it. And every single time that I'm in space with a guy, he will start talking about a challenge. And within nanoseconds, my mind is seeing doors and opportunities where it's just with a little tweak of thinking, he can then come back into reconnection with himself. He can then come back into reconnection with his queen. He can then, you know, dominate in the arena of parenting, because with fresh thinking, the entire world opens up to you. You go from resistance into flow. Emotional resistance can only create and recreate resentment and regret. Resentment with your queen, resentment with the world, regret internally. When you come back into flow, and the difference how you shift from resistance to flow is, you're guessing it, and this is to reorient your thinking. And when your thinking comes back, like the Dalai Lama, you're thinking about a situation, and once you get that master key, wow, this is a new perspective. Oh, I'm feeling good. Your emotions are flowing. You have a new perspective, and from flow, you can create as a recurring, systematized way of life on repeat, freedom and fulfillment. So a lot of guys within the movement, they get their marriage sort of relatively in order quite quickly, and but then they start realizing, wow, there's what you know you don't know. This is like, not me as a teacher, I don't know who the root source is of this, but you know, reality can be broken into three segments. What you know, what you don't know, and the vastest part of reality is what you don't know you don't know. In shadow work, we call them blind spots. It's only your greatest leadership, your greatest transformation as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a dad, as a leader for your community, and as a legacy creator for the next seven generations coming after you. That all depends on your willingness to keep leaning into the infinite expanse of what you don't know you don't know. It's an astounding journey. I love it. I want to teach you guys your, like, what it is, what, how I do what I do in navigating every single inner, outer challenge that I have with a level of grace, with a level of calm, with a level of composure and courage, in a way that, hey, you know, my queen trusts me with absolute terms now, my kids as well. And hey, if you want that level of trust within yourself, that confidence, that confidere with immense trust inside of yourself, there's nothing more beautiful as a man who is loaded to the gills with radical self-confidence. If you want that level of self-confidence and you want to evoke a response from your queen that she has a level of trust in you and she's feeling radically safe in your presence, that you become the single most healing influence and most trustworthy influence in her life and your kids, and hey, get creating that legacy for the next seven generations after you, then click in the podcast description and yeah, click to join the movement today. It'll be the single greatest decision you've made in your adult life. Well, amongst the top two or three anyway. We'll back that shit up when you join. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement: better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.